This is American Adventure, a dramatic study of man in the new world, written by John Ely, directed by John Clayton, produced and recorded in Chapel Hill by the Communication Center of the University of North Carolina, Earl Wynn, director. Tonight's American Adventure story deals with the American novelist Thomas Wolfe, a tall man with huge hands, a man who remembered everything. We call the story An Unfound Door.
Koch. Koch.
Coming. Coming. What is it? Who's out there?
Prof.
Tom Wolfe. What are you doing here at 2 a.m?
I've got to see you, Prof. I've got to see you.
But I was asleep, Tom.
Yes, sir. Can I talk to you, Prof?
Come on into the living room and sit down. Excuse me a minute while I get this fire started.
Oh, forget the fire. I won't be here long, Prof. Just a minute. But it had to be now.
All right. Sit down. We'll freeze together.
I get worried about something, and I can't stop worrying about it.
Really important, Tom?
I was called to the dean's office this afternoon.
You're not in trouble, surely?
Not with the university. With myself. The dean said the Bingham Military School, you know where that is?
The one in Asheville?
That's right. They need an English teacher. The dean said he had suggested me.
Well, it's a little early in the morning for deep thinking, Tom. But on the surface, I still can't see any reason for knocking down my door at 2 a.m. in the morning.
But I wrote my folks and told them I'd take the job.
Tom Wolfe, how tall are you?
6 feet 7 inches.
If you don't tell me why you got me out of bed at this unearthly hour and tell me simply, I'm going to take all 6.5 feet of you and throw you out of this house.
But how can I tell you simply? It isn't simple. It's a matter of my life, and my life isn't simple.
All right. Be as complex as you like while I freeze to death.
I'm sorry, Prof. My dreams are too big. That's my trouble. They're all out of size.
What dreams?
Of writing, being famous, hearing words I've written spoken on the stage, see them in print. Like a boy dreams of being a cop, I guess.
But you're not a boy, Tom. You're big and rustic. Big men should dream big dreams.
Oh, you can dream a dream for 1,000 years and still not have anything in your hand to show for it.
Uh-huh. What does this job in Asheville have to do with all this?
If I take the job, I'll never write. You and the other professors here, the ones who've taken an interest in me, you've opened up the future, expanded it with visions, proclaimed it for youth, and I'm young. I feel the future right here, beating with my pulse. I have to say it, whatever it is. I have to put youth down in writing. If I take this job, Prof, I'll lose my visions, lose my youth. I don't want ever to be cynical. Look, Prof, I think I can write. Down inside me, I'm almost sure I have to write, even to live. But I have to learn more, don't I?
So do we all, Tom.
You mentioned once that a Professor Baker at Harvard had the best writing course in the country. Remember that?
Best there is. He's an old professor of mine.
Since you said that, I've thought about going to Harvard and taking that course.
I see.
It won't be easy to go. Won't be easy to get into Harvard, will it?
Baker has a limited class of 12 students a year, Tom.
Prof, I have to go. I can't take this job in Asheville. Tell me I can write, Prof. Tell me I have to. Tell me to go to Harvard. Tell me I have to fight to go to Harvard when I get home.
Tom, you would overwhelm an oak tree. You're asking me to ask you to risk your whole life, to gamble with it. And I will. I think you've got what it takes, although I'm not sure exactly what it is. If you put your soul in it, Tom...
My soul is in it now, Prof. Koch.
How are you, boy?
Oh, hello, mister.
Coker, don't you remember? Used to live in the house next to your mother's boarding house.
Oh, yes, sir.
How are you, boy? Here, take a... Almost offered you a cigar. Here, you're a little more than a kid, are you?
Well, I'm 18.
Say, Tom, I heard some great things about you. Being editor of the school magazine and newspaper. Big man on the campus, huh?
I'm tall enough to be big. That's about all.
Your mother sure is proud of you, Tom. Proudest woman in Buncombe County. Says you're going to amount to something.
I intend to, Mr. Coker.
How's that?
I intend to amount to a great deal.
Oh, you don't say. Remember when I was a boy, I sort of thought I would, too. But here I am, 54, and I'm still on the road. A good job, mind you, but...
I didn't mean to sound egotistical, Mr. Coker.
Oh, that's all right. I understand about youth. Just don't get your hopes too high, Tom. Leaves too much room under you when you fall.
Did I get any mail this afternoon?
If you did, Mrs. Culberson, it's on the table in the hall. Now, scat out of my way.
Pretty nice about Tom getting that offer from being a military school, isn't it?
I dare say it's no more than my Tom deserves.
It'd be good to have him back home, won't it?
And did you think it wouldn't?
Well, no, I didn't think at all.
Oh, I'll believe that. Here, move.
Hey, Mrs. Wolf.
Law, what's that? You'll have to stop yelling or pay your room rent, Mrs. Taylor.
Mrs. Wolf, your youngest son is home. All 7 feet of him just pushing open the gate.
Oh, well, you'd know he'd be back just when I didn't have time to turn around. Mrs. Culbertson, watch the meeting.
Hey, Ma. Ma.
In here, Tom. Law, I got biscuit go all over me.
In the kitchen as usual, are you? Yes. So you are.
Tom Wolf. Now put down them heavy bags before you break your back.
How are you, Ma?
Oh, good as could be expected after working 16 hours a day. Well, come on, kiss me hello. Now go up and get washed for dinner. Law, I've got to start filling out that frame of yours, Tom. Don't they feed you at that university?
Oh, I haven't lost any weight.
Don't tell me. Go hurry and get washed for supper. And you, Mrs. Taylor.
Me?
Go over to Pack Square and tell Tom's father to come eat. With his hands washed. He's got a college graduate for supper. Here, have this other pork chop, Tom.
Well, thanks, Ma, but...
Take it.
Thanks.
How was school this year, son?
Well, it was...
I don't know how I'm going to fill you up. Always did have an appetite. Didn't get you weaned till you were almost four.
Ma, please.
Now, your father's responsible for that. He thought you were cute when...
Mother, please.
Oh, I know. You're a college graduate now. But you'll never grow up as far as I'm concerned, Tom. It's good for a mother to have her youngest son at home with her. I'll tell the world that. Home to stay, Tom. And don't you ever leave this house again.
Dad, I'd like to talk to you for a minute.
Well, come on and pull up a chair. Your mother talks and I have to come out on the porch to think.
Wanted to thank you for sending me money at Chapel Hill.
Oh, it did for myself as much as for you, I reckon. Oh, finest thing in the world to study. Tom, Greek literature, there's nothing finer made of gold than that speech in Hamlet. To be or not to be, that is the question. Whether 'tis nobler in the mind of man to suffer
First line, Dad, to be or not to be.
Yes, sir, Tom. It's a pretty grouping of words, ain't it?
Dad, I have a chance to be something.
Well, sure you have, son.
Something big. Really big.
Well, of course you have. You have as fine an education as anybody's in Western Carolina. Expecting you to be principal of a school someday, Tom.
Something greater than that, Dad.
Oh, helping people to know things, Tom. That's as great as a man can get.
Not just to school. There are things that must be said to the whole world.
They must be teaching a sight more at the university than a thought for a man to think he knows enough.
I don't know enough, Dad. I want to go back to school.
What? Why, You have a fine job offered you at home.
I want to go to Harvard, Dad.
Harvard? Good Lord, Tom, Harvard? Well, what do you want me to do, sell my business?
I've got a chance to be something, Dad. I've got to take that chance.
Well, I've got other children. You've no right to expect all the money for yourself.
I know you have little enough money, but...
Little enough, Tom? I just don't think I can.
Why, there you are, Mr. Wolf.
Oh, Lord.
And how does this mountain air seem to you, Tom?
Oh, it's very nice, cool.
Oh, I think I'll take a walk, Tom.
You're not leaving?
I'm not.
I mean, with your son just home and all.
Mrs. Culbertson, by no stretch of biological reasoning could you be my son, so I don't see what difference it makes to you.
Poor man. I feel sorry for your father, Tom.
Hmm? Sorry for him?
I overheard what you were saying to him. Hope you don't blame me for listening. Get the habit in the boarding house.
Oh, no, it's all right.
I thought I just had to say something, Tom. You know how sick your father is.
I know.
Might not last through the year. Of course, the doctors keep saying that year after year.
It seems like Dad couldn't die. He's so much a part of all the living things I've known here.
But he will, probably this year. And whether that means anything or not, when you decide whether to go away...
Yes, Mrs. Culbertson.
It's really none of my business, is it?
Oh, don't worry about your business, Mrs. Culbertson.
Like I said, I'm only a boarder. But even if you went and borrowed the money for Harvard, Tom, still you'd be walking out on him when he needs you.
All right. Thank you, Mrs. Culbertson. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm going for a walk myself.
Well, I never. He'll be just like his father, that one.
Or not to be. To be or not to be. To live or live with the dead. To be or not to be.
Well, good evening, Tom. Train did make it, didn't it?
It must have.
Come on down and have a beer with me, Tom.
Not now, sir. Thank you, though.
You wouldn't understand, Mr. Coker. Ever could. I don't myself. Nobody could.
Oh, I understand about you. Just don't get your hopes too high, Tom. Leaves too much room when you fall.
Mr. Coker, he wouldn't understand. Nobody can see the soul of my life. Not even me. Nobody can.
Tom, you would overwhelm an oak tree. Put your soul into your writing, Tom. Big men must have big dreams, Tom.
Perhaps Prof understood. Perhaps. But Ma will not. She could not. Dad could never understand.
Even if you went and borrowed the money, Tom, still you'd be walking out on him when he needs you.
Naked and alone. Naked and alone we came into exile. In her dark womb we did not know our mother's face. From the prison of her flesh have we come into the unspeakable and incommunicable prison of this earth. They could never understand.
Well, Tom Wolf, on my soul. Good to have you back in town, big fellow.
Thank you, Mr. Cathy. How's the real estate business?
Fine, Tom. Nashville is building up to be a big town someday.
Oh, I hope not, sir.
Well, how's that?
I don't think growth will make Asheville any more beautiful.
Well, it'll sure make my bank account a whole lot prettier, though. Say, your mother told you any more of the town gossip since you've been home?
No, Mr. Cathy.
Well, she will, boy, never fear. Tell your mother I know a good lot for sale if she wants to know them.
Not for money, Tom. Not to be one of the lost men who follow so little, so desperately. There is so much that is important. the narrowest hinge of my hand puts to scorn all machinery. The cow crunching with depressed head surpasses any statue. The mole is miracle enough to stagger infidels. A leaf of grass is greater than wealth or social standing. So much to say. So many people who must be made to hear. So much to say. So much of youth to put in old age now. But not now. Not ever.
Lost. Lost.
Now, Tom, stop right there at that door and tell me where you've been so late.
Ma.
And on your first night at home in months.
You shouldn't have waited up
for
me.
Oh, don't tell me what I should do. You've been drinking, Tom.
No, I haven't.
Well, what you going to be, like your father?
I haven't had anything to drink, Ma, but leave me.
Then stop standing there like a prisoner. Sit down, sit down.
I'd rather go to bed.
Take the rocker.
All right. Now what? Rock our lives away? Sit here and rock?
Oh, I don't know why God ever pestered me with a boy that acts as strange as you do, Tom. Did you have a fight or something?
Fight? With myself.
Now, that's not a sensible way to fight, I'd say. Shouldn't pick out a man as big as you are
to... Oh, stop talking about how tall I am. Hear it everywhere I go. How's the weather up there, mister? Same dumb remark over and over.
Don't get on your high horse around me, Thomas Clayton Wolfe. The university didn't teach you much about manners, did it?
Taught me a lot about myself.
Which I could have done for less money. You don't want to take that teaching job, do you?
Yes, I do.
Don't lie to me.
Then I don't want it. I want to write, Ma.
Why not take the job teaching, then? Teaching's easy enough, goodness knows, and write in your spare time. Keep you out of mischief.
Writing with me isn't a pastime, Ma. I don't have time to waste.
18 years old and you don't have time? You're not planning to die before you're 70, are you, Tom?
Don't talk about dying. Don't even tell me there is death. I won't listen. When I'm 30, you can tell me and I'll believe you.
Then you'll have time to...
Not to waste, Ma. There's a world in front of me waiting for me to talk to it. And I don't know what to say exactly. Somehow I don't think I ever will know. Never be able to say clearly just what the world does mean. Or what this house means. Or this street. Or this town. Or you. Or what I mean. But I have to try to say it.
Tom, you just don't make sense.
Not even to myself, Ma. But somewhere there must be an answer. I have to take a chance on finding it, a chance on me, Ma. I've got to.
I guess you'd better go to bed, Tom. Can't make heads or tails of what you're saying.
Let me tell you this before I go to bed.
I've got to get up early tomorrow,
Ma.
Son.
Ma. Going down to Chapel Hill last time, I got a cold in my chest.
You didn't write me about
that.
The
cold stayed with me. And a week or so ago, I began to cough. At first, a dry cough. Then a rattling, tearing sort of cough, full of phlegm. I became worried. My right lung was sore.
Why, Tom?
One night, I remember, I was in my room, and I started coughing. I put a handkerchief to my mouth. When I drew the handkerchief away, there was a tiny spot of blood on it.
You didn't write a word. Well, I could have asked the druggist.
I was half sick with horror, Ma, and I started to think about it. I swallowed pneumonia salve at night and rubbed my chest with the stuff. I ate cough drops. The cold got better. The cough subsided. It's gone now. The soreness is gone from my lungs. But that doesn't matter. What does matter more is that I thought. I thought and saw the slow, certain advance of the old skeleton with the scythe. I saw the sure destruction, the erasure, and I saw the blotting out of my dreams and poetry. Myself, and I couldn't face it.
Tom.
Maybe I'm foolish not to want to take this job. But I know that in 15 years, I would be a sour, small-town peasant. The power of my youth lost, bitter, blaming everybody for what might have been. I can't kill my soul, Ma. I can't play the game safe and manage to still live.
You're not a boy any longer, are you, Tom? I hardly know you. You spoke to your father?
I told him I wanted to go to Harvard.
What did he say?
That it wasn't fair to the others.
It isn't. But I think if you can gamble with...
And it isn't fair to him, Ma. He doesn't look any worse, but I heard...
You let the dead bury the dead, Tom.
I couldn't do that, not just for myself.
Oh, Lord, he's not going to die anytime soon. I called up the doctor only a few days ago, and he said, Mrs. Wolf, I don't know what to tell you. He's been pronounced dead 50 times, and he's still up and around, and he may outlast all of us.
The doctor said that?
So tomorrow morning, you'll tell Colonel Bingham that you can't take the job.
But...
And you'll start getting your things ready for that Harvard.
But, Mama, I don't...
Don't stutter. You always did stutter when you got excited. I don't like it.
Don't
thank me, even. I'll send you the money, but to learn with. Money for learning is a fair swap. And when you start writing those big plays of yours, you can thank me with them. Just write things the way they are, Tom, and you'll thank me.
I couldn't do anything less than that.
And make a success of yourself. Now get to bed. I'll come up in a minute and rub some mustard oil on your chest.
Oh, I'm all right.
Do as I say. And by the way, Tom, where is this Harvard anyway?
It's in Massachusetts. Cambridge, Massachusetts.
My, that's a long way for a boy your age. You'll starve to death in that Yankee country and never knew how to cook.
Good night, Ma.
Good night, Tom.
Why, hello there, Mr. Coker.
Well, Tom Wolfe, where are you going this time?
I'm going up, Mr. Coker.
Oh, is that a fact? You ain't going to New York.
Oh, Father Nat, going right on to the top.
Just where is that, Tom?
A long way from here, Mr. Coker, but not out of reach.
Well, sit down. Here, Tom, take your pick of one of these cigars.
Thomas Wolfe, born in Asheville, North Carolina in 1900, died at Baltimore September 15, 1938, after an operation following upon pneumonia. He held a degree from the University of North Carolina and a master's degree from Harvard. He left no great plays, but his books take their places among the greatest ever written by an American. Look Homeward Angel, Of Time and the River, The Web and the Rock, You Can't Go Home Again, The Hills Beyond. American Adventure is produced by the Communications Center of the University of North Carolina. Tonight's story, An Unfound Door, was written by John Ely, directed by John Clayton. The part of Thomas Wolfe was played by John Ely, Professor Frederick Koch by Earl Wynn, and Mrs. Wolfe by Edith Sanford. American Adventure is produced and recorded by the University of North Carolina on the campus at Chapel Hill.
This is the NBC Radio Network.